14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5, we have a message on freedom today. Freedom is not free. And I want to preach on that today, and I hope it will be a help to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for your word and for the power of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us in the moments that we have together in this service. May we lift up the Lord Jesus. Lord, he's the reason why we're here today. Thank you for what we've enjoyed so far. And we pray, Lord, that you would please help any who may have come today without Christ. This might be the day they receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Speak, we pray now in the moments we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. It's a blessing to be an American. I love this country. I thank God for it. I thank God for its heritage. I thank God for what he has done in this country. I believe that America is still the greatest country in all the world. And though the shine may be dimming just slightly, we still have a great country, and we thank God for it.
Sometimes I think in the midst of our freedom, we fail to appreciate the worth and value of our freedom. We forget the freedom is not free. We are enjoying the freedoms of this great country because there were those, and there are those right now, who are willing to give their lives and pay the price so that we can enjoy freedom. I was recently reading, and I ran across these statistics I think were most alarming. There have been 919,967 people who have died in the coalition forces in Afghanistan and Iraq. Of those, 4,469 died in Iraq, and 1,648 died in Afghanistan, making it a total of 6,117 people, Americans, who have given their lives that you and I might enjoy the freedom that we have right now. I want to remind you today that freedom is not free. And in this passage, we looked into the Word of God. We're learning that it is also true that spiritual freedom is not free. The motivation is the love of Christ. And the Bible said that God shows us that He loves us. You see, the truth of the matter is sin is most enslaving. You know, I noticed that the world kind of deceives themselves into believing that somehow or another, that if they could just kind of live any way they want to and do anything they want to and kind of have the freedom to sin all they want, that they think that's life when really that's death. Because sin can become most enslaving. The Bible makes it very clear when Paul writes about the enslavement of sin. He writes in Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would not do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Paul said that I struggle. I have this problem. I have this sin issue. And this sin issue can be most enslaving. You see, the truth of the matter is there's nobody perfect. Now, I've met a lot of people that thought they were. But the truth of the matter is God says we're all sinners. And since sin has enslaved us, we're talking about the freedom that we enjoy as a nation and as a country, but specifically we're going to target the freedom we enjoy in being a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad today that God saved your soul? Amen. And freed you from the enslavement of sin? The Bible says here in this passage that if we're going to be free, if we're going to have the freedom, if we're going to enjoy the spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ, there are three requirements. God outlines them for us. These requirements are very important. Number one, write this one down. There's a little bulletin insert if you'd like to use it. Freedom requires a price. Freedom requires a price. I said today, the truth of the matter is that the reason why that we have the great country that we enjoy is because someone was willing to pay the price. I'm thankful for the 101 pilgrims that got aboard the ship and came to America to found this nation. I thank God for those men who were willing to give their lives so that we can enjoy this country of ours. But there's also a price for spiritual freedom. And what is that price? Well, we go to Hebrews chapter 9, where we notice here that there is the fact of death. Look, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. If I can get you to go back there with me just briefly, I want us to look at it because I think it's important for us to understand what God says about freedom that is not free. Oh, yes, we can enjoy the benefits of the freedom that we have as a believer in Christ because it was free to us, but it cost somebody else something. There was a price that had to be paid. And in Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible said that spiritual freedom comes because there must be a death. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. The Bible says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all, while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood." And then look at verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." God says that there must be a death. If a man's going to be spiritually free, the payment had to be a death. In the Garden of Eden, back in the very beginning of time when there was man and woman in the garden, the Bible said that Satan came to Eve and tempted her and Adam in the garden. The Bible said that Adam ate of the tree which he was forbidden to eat. And when he did, the Bible said that death was passed upon man as a reason or as a payment for their sin. But then, a little later in the chapter, you read, thank God that God in his grace stepped in, and he also paid a death payment, because the Bible says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them." Guess where the coats of skin came from? God took an innocent animal and sacrificed him so that his skin could clothe and cover the physical covering of Adam, which pictures the covering of spiritual man in his nakedness and sin before a holy God. Do you realize today that the Bible said that God died so that we could be free? God's Son, Jesus Christ, came and he died that we might be free. An animal, according to Hebrews 9, could not cover the spiritual sin of man. We needed a lamb. And that lamb is Jesus Christ. See, in John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says that Jesus, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Thank God that we have a debt that was already been paid for on the cross. But it wasn't just any death. I want you to notice it, what kind of death it was. It was a bloody sacrifice. A bloody death. Years ago, I read an article about there was a move in America among churches to take the blood out of the churches. I read about the fact that they were going to take and rewrite a Bible with no blood. They were going to rewrite a hymn book with no blood. They wanted no blood be mentioned at all. But let me tell you something, without the blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible says. You can't have Christianity. You can't have salvation. You can't have forgiveness without the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ paid his blood for us. And so, just as the men who have died on the battlefields of this world for America and shed their blood, the Bible said Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross so that man can be saved. It's the only acceptable price of innocent blood is the payment of a son, and that son is none other than Jesus Christ. I love 1 Peter. 1 Peter says it this way, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, Let me explain to you what the word redemption means. The word redeem means it was paid. In other words, the truth of the matter is, all of us, our sin had to be paid for. And that's what redemption is. You hear us, we sing a song, it's called Redeemed, and I love to proclaim it. It's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, someone paid, the blood of the Lamb paid for my sin. So the idea of the redemption then is the fact that we were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it's not with corruptible things. And then it goes on to say in that verse, as silver and gold. In other words, you can't pay for your sin by buying your way into heaven. You can't pay for your sin and forgiveness and acceptance and freedom by trying to do things to get there. It's already been done for you. The Bible says, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your father, but the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, God requires a payment. Freedom given to us, spiritual freedom, comes from a payment. But second of all, God requires a person. God requires a person. And the Bible says that we have that person in the Lord Jesus Christ. His commission was given 2,000 years ago. I'm not sure what that must have been like, but I can almost imagine that all of heaven gathered around as the Son of God was about to leave splendors of glory to come to this sin-cursed world. He came for one purpose, to pay the price for your sin and mine. The Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Bible goes on to say this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for all to be testified in due time. You see, the truth of the matter is, folks, Jesus Christ came, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and other places, Jesus Christ came to die for all of man, but not just a death, but a bloody death sacrifice. And it had to be Him who died. You see, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I don't go through a man, I don't go through a rabbi, I don't go through a preacher, I don't go through a priest, I go through Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that He died for us. He was commissioned for that purpose. And the reason why is because of His perfection. Jesus Christ was the perfect lamb sacrifice. He gave His life as a perfect sacrifice. There's no doubt about it. There was no sin in His life. I like what 2 Corinthians says. It says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's only one. There is no other sinless person. There's no other perfect sacrifice. There's no other holy man. The only one is Jesus Christ. Look, He wasn't a man that became God. He was a God that became man. He is not a man who came to this earth and sinned. He did not marry. He did not sin. He did not do things that He's been accused of doing. He's not a revolutionary. He is the Son of God, the perfect, innocent lamb sacrifice. Our nation has been under attack in our history on numerous occasions. Nobody would deny the fact that September 11th, 2001, was an effort for people to destroy this great country that we enjoy. I guess you might say this, in a sense, they were somewhat successful. Satan has come to destroy this world. And when you look around, you might say, in a sense, it looked like maybe that he's been somewhat successful. He came to the Garden of Eden and he made an effort to destroy this world. But can I tell you this? He will be defeated. And He has been defeated on the cross. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, I kind of look at it this way. If you want to take the boxing terminology, Jesus Christ gave Him a blow on the cross when He died. But thank God he rose again the third day. And the bloody sacrifice that he gave for you and me, he paid for my sin and your sin. You see, the cross was his defeat. Jesus not only died, but he rose again. So the truth of the matter is, when I look at what God is saying about freedom, since freedom is not free, I understand, number one, that freedom requires. There's no doubt about it. There's a requirement for freedom, and those requirements are outlined for us. Number one is a price. Number two is a person. But number three, this is where you and I come into the picture greatly. It requires an appreciation. Do you love this country? The choir sang a song, I Love America. I do love this country. If you've never taken a trip to Washington, D.C., I would highly urge you to do so. You would love this country so much more. It's been my privilege. I've been to the D.C. probably 12, 13, 14 times. It's probably my wife and I's favorite vacation spot. We love going there. We've been there many times. It's not too far from where I grew up in West Virginia. It's about a five-hour drive, and if we can squeak out some time, we go back there. We try to make a trip over there to go and see our capital and the country. We've taken the tour. We've gone behind the scenes. We've gone over there with David Barton and the wall builders, and we were able to go back. We met some congressmen and senators with that group of pastors and Christian workers. I remember going to those meetings and sitting there. We went to the Library of Congress, and we looked at this ornate building that was built, and all of it stood for history. And the reason why is because I love this country. I appreciate what the men have done for this great nation of ours. You know, I feel bad for young people now growing up in America now, where they do not, instead of pledging to the flag, they burn the flag. I don't know about you, but if I ever see someone burn the flag, I'm going after them. Amen. There are people that shed their blood for this country, and those buzzards would have the audacity to go and burn a flag that people died for. Listen, I love America. I love Betsy Ross. I love Star Spangled Banner. I love the country. I love it when American servicemen gets off the airplane. I mean, every time I go into a restaurant now, I see one of our soldiers or one of our military personnel coming through. I say, thank you for serving. It's been my privilege and honor. I've done several veteran funerals recently, and it's been my honor to do that somehow or another. I've got connected with the Sacramento Valley Cemetery down there, and they asked me if I'll help them out, and they said, can we have your card? And they've been handing it out, and I'm getting a lot of funerals. I remember a few weeks ago, it was my honor. I did a, and I think I mentioned to some of you in the church, and I don't know if I said it in a group or not, but I did a funeral for a Marine colonel, 35 years. He was one medal short of a military flyover. Fought in three wars. I mean, this man was a decorated veteran. And the reason why is because he loved this country. When I look at men like that would be willing to give their lives, I'm thinking, you know, thank God for that. I appreciate America, and I hope you do. Don't take it for granted. The freedom that we enjoy in America, the freedom that we enjoy to come to a church where we choose to come to, the freedom to come and be a part of what God is doing. Man, I love this country. But not only that, but I love God. And I love Jesus Christ. If you notice in verse number 15, notice what he says with me. Will you go back and look at it with me, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15, God really drives home this point. And he said, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Here's what God says. He said, we are constrained to appreciate the payment. Listen, there's never a day that I don't wake up and read my Bible, that I cannot appreciate the payment that Christ did by dying on the cross for me. I think of all the blessings that I've been able to enjoy. The songwriter says it best, and I believe I put it in your notes there for you. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. See, I believe this. We don't have a perfect country, but we have a perfect God who's blessed this country. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of education. We have freedom of worship and freedom of expression and freedom of travel and freedom to own and purchase property, to attend church where we choose to, freedom to marry those whom we choose, freedom to vote, and so on and so forth. But why? Because someone paid for that. The reason why we can enjoy our salvation is because Jesus Christ paid for that as well. Listen, we have a clear conscience that we can enjoy. We have the peace of God. We have a grace to help in time of need. We have a Bible, a church, a people that understand, an understanding Savior, a purpose for living, the presence of God, the hope for the future, a destiny in heaven. All of that because Jesus paid the price for man. And I wonder, somehow or another, we've lost that. We've forgotten what a wonderful Savior Jesus Christ is. See, we are constrained by God to show our appreciation. Oh, how I'm thankful to God for the price that He paid. But second of all, we are constrained to tell others. You see, we should tell others. Look, tomorrow, we're going to set up a booth over at the marina. It's kind of strange the city asked me if we'd do it. Kind of sad the city has to ask you to do something like this. They asked me a couple years ago, hey, why don't you start setting up booths and let people know who you are? Thinking, good idea. We'll set up a booth over there and we want to get the word out about Calvary Baptist Church, and not about Calvary Baptist Church really, but about Jesus Christ. And we're going to put some tracts there. We want people to know that Jesus Christ is alive and Jesus Christ is real and that He can make a difference in their life. We just want to tell them about Christ. Yeah, we'll have the signs up about the church, and we certainly want people to know about our Christian schools. You know, we're praying that God will give us some students for the fall so that we can kind of build up our Christian school some, and we know that. We're there all about that too as well, but we want them to know the message of what makes all of this tick. It's Jesus Christ. And it's going to be 104 tomorrow. It's going to be good and hot. I was thinking, man, when do I want to go? Should I pick 100, 104, 102? Where do I want to go? Because I don't know about you, but I can handle the cold, but the heat, now that's another story. The truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ did a whole lot more than that on the cross. I can't live for myself. We can't live for ourselves. We ought to live for Christ. If it's 110, I'm going to be out there. I wonder how many people would be willing to say, hey, I'll go. If you say that, sign up a spot back there. We need some help. Yeah, I know we have holiday plans tomorrow night, and I want you to enjoy that. I think everyone should. But take a little time, maybe think of others tomorrow. Hand out some gospel tracts. Talk to people about Christ. Let them know that Jesus is real and that we believe he's real. And the reason why our country is so great is because of who he is. See, when we're constrained to express the news, we can't help but be overflow with joy. There's a joy to tell others about the story. The rest of the chapter mentions about we are ambassadors to tell others. What a privilege it is. A man is only miserable when he's selfish and lives for himself. But those who live for others understand that freedom isn't free. Thank God someone was willing to meet the requirements for us to be free. I'm glad. I'm glad that I can stand before you today in a free country because someone paid the price and shed their blood. But I'm also glad to stand here before you today and say I'm spiritually free, not because of me, absolutely not, but because of one who did die for me. The reason why I can have a clear conscience and why I know I'm going to heaven is not because I'm a good person, because I'm not. It's because Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. And by trusting in him, I can be saved and go to heaven. And I'm thankful today for that. If you've never been spiritually free, you can be today. He wants to save you. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. What can we do? What's the message? What does it mean to me? Well, number one, if you've not done so, receive the payment for your sin by receiving Jesus Christ. Number two, live for him daily instead of living for yourself. And number three, share the freedom you have with others. May God help us today to realize freedom is not free. Let's pray.